Aut invivium thiam aut fasciam by Glimmerglanger. Why are your eyes so red? The first time Cody asked. Obi-Wan was standing in the middle of a separatist laboratory. They'd fought their way into the bunker over the course of days, Obi-Wan taking the last push by himself, forcing his way into this terrible room. The first time Cody asked, Obi-Wan is surrounded by the dead, releasing the body of the last man he'd killed so that it could slump to the ground beside all the rest. The room had stunk of blood and cauterized skin. The first time Cody asked, it had been after Obi-Wan spent hours walking through the results of the experiments conducted in this place, looking at the remains of the men and women, the children, and granting those poor souls that had survived some measure of peace and... He blinked, rapidly turning his face away from his commander, regathering all the emotions in his head and chest. There were lights flashing all over the room. The power had started failing within hours of their assault. What? He asked when he felt contained inside, turning to glance at Cody. Cody stood in the doorway, looking across the ruin within. There was no horror in his expression, only a grim sort of satisfaction. But then, he'd seen everything Obi-Wan had seen. Cody looked at him, a small frown passing across his face, and said, "Could have sworn your eyes were red a second ago, sir." Obi-Wan flashed him a tired smile, stepping over a body. "A trick of the light," he said, clapping Cody on the arm. "Shall we get out of here?" Obi-Wan had not been aware of the issue, not truly, before Cody asked about it. Oh, he knew he grew exhausted. He knew he was angry. But he had not thought it had gone so far. But after Cody mentioned it, sometimes he glanced toward a mirror and found a red gleam across his irises. He closed his eyes. He tried to meditate. But all the meditation in the world did not undo the effects of the war on the galaxy. It did not bring back the dead or soothe the tormented. It did not put a stop to the unending stretch of madness and deprivation. And so he glanced sideways at mirrors, and red eyes looked back more and more often. "General," Cody said the second time, weeks later on the bridge of Separatist command ship. "Your eyes are red." His men had made it in as Obi-Wan cornered the general leading the orbital bombardment of the planet below. They were wiping out hundreds with each shot, causing permanent damage to the planet's crust, filling the atmosphere with particulates that would take a century to clear. He'd heard them lower their blasters when the general's head rolled away, his body slumping to the side and then falling, his hands upraised, finally lowering. Obi-Wan expected to feel something. But he felt only a sense of grim satisfaction standing there in the smoke-filled bridge of the ship, reaching out to cease the bombardment. "It's the smoke in here," he said to Cody, looking up and meeting his gaze. Cody stared back at him, dark eyes searching, and Obi-Wan waited. They'd seen the general's hands up when they'd entered the bridge. They'd no doubt heard him pleading in the hall, though that hadn't gone on for very long. Obi-Wan had seen no reason to drag things out. Such a waste of time would only result in more deaths. Cody said, still watching him, his tone slow and thoughtful, "Then you should get out of here, sir. Get some fresh air." Obi-Wan inclined his head. He said, "Good idea, Commander. Thank you." The third time Cody asked, they were in the war room on the Negotiator, reviewing the newest orders sent down by the Senate. Obi-Wan read them over twice, looking at the hollows swirling through the air, considering the troop deployments, the strategies advised by the Senate. The plan would, almost certainly, win them the planet below. The problem, of course, was that it would, almost just as certainly, mean feeding hundreds, if not thousands, of his men into a meat grinder, putting living men in, getting dead bodies out, and Obi-Wan had his orders. He was to obey, the same as everyone else. The Senate had final word. Their word was law. They, "Sir," Cody said quietly at his shoulder, "it's all right. We'd follow you to hell and back." Obi-Wan turned to look at him, the familiar lines of his face, the determination in his eyes, his battle-worn armor. He'd added a new decoration to it recently, a small circle, half red and half blue. Obi-Wan had seen it on troopers throughout the battalion, but they'd been evasive about what it meant. They had things that mattered to them, secrets they kept whole lives. And something shifted inside of him, something in his chest hardening and going cold. They'd follow him into hell, willingly. But he saw no reason to make them burn. He waved aside the hollows, cold anger moving through him with each beat of his heart. He worked quietly for a moment, leaving the hollow spinning slowly in place, and said, gazing upon it, "This is what we're going to do." He stayed quiet while Cody looked over the plans for deployment. Cody had seen, after all, the orders that they were given. These hardly matched. And Cody had every reason to follow the Senate's orders. No reason at all to, "I'll let the men know," Cody said, reaching out for his helmet, as something like relief or satisfaction unfurled inside Obi-Wan's chest. He hesitated a step away, glancing back, and said, "Sir, your eyes." "I haven't been getting enough sleep," Obi-Wan said, gazing at the spinning hollow. "There's nothing to worry about." And after that, after ignoring the orders of the Senate once and securing a victory that felt like a victory, Obi-Wan could see no reason not to continue doing so. He wondered what the Senate would do about it. It turned out little. It was difficult to reprimand the person bringing you the victories you claimed to want, Obi-Wan supposed. He wondered, breathing hard following a battle, the dead spread in a circle all around him, why exactly it had been so difficult to make progress before. He was still wondering when Cody approached him and said quietly, "General, your eyes." Obi-Wan blinked and said, "It's just, I'm not looking for an excuse," Cody interrupted, coming to a stop so close their shoulders bumped, leaning closer to keep his voice quiet. "I'm just telling you because Master Secura is waking her way over here, and I thought you'd want to know." Obi-Wan stared at him for a moment, consideration spreading through his mind as he said, "You know what it means." Cody flashed him a smile, sharp, there and gone. "I know," he said, and Obi-Wan felt a thrum down his spine, wondering if this was how it all ended, if Secura had brought enough men to take him, if Cody planned to pull the trigger, and Cody continued, "And General Secura will too, if you don't do something about it." "Of course," Obi-Wan said, concentrating, reaching for peace and calm. It was not that hard to find. Lately, he felt very sure of what he was doing. Secura did not try to take him in to answer for what he had done. She seemed troubled, but willing to listen, willing to understand why Obi-Wan had taken the actions he'd taken, why he'd disregarded the Senate's orders. Results, Obi-Wan found again, were difficult to argue with. She spoke with him, listened to him, and when she left again, she felt at peace as well. More confident, less burdened. "That went better than I expected," Obi-Wan told Cody, who had spoken with Bly earnestly and quietly to one side throughout the meeting. They'd gripped hands before Bly followed Secura away, shared a look of determination. "Well," Cody said, bumping his shoulder, "they do call you the negotiator." Obi-Wan snorted a laugh. It surprised him for a moment that he could still manage laughter. He'd thought for some reason that he would lose it, but amusement spread through him, warm and pleasant. He asked, "Did you have a pleasant talk with your brother?" He kept his weight leaned against Cody's shoulder. He'd wanted that closeness for so long, denied himself, sensed the risk of attachment and retreated as he should have, but... "I did," Cody said. "I'll tell you more about it later." "The war needs someone to be able to make decisions across the entire front," Obi-Wan said after his next victory, speaking to the members of the council and the other generals. "Someone who knows what's going on. Attempting this with so many different plans is losing us this war." He watched them exchange glances, concerned, but he also saw flashes of agreement. They worried about what he was saying, he saw, but they knew he was right all at the same time. He stifled a smile, continuing, "Master Yoda would be the obvious choice. His experience could only benefit us." "Experience I have," Yoda said, shaking his head, far away on Coruscant. "But a mind for battle I have not." He glanced to the side and nodded at Master Windu. "We agree that an overall strategy would benefit the Republic," he said, "and we'll put the matter before the Senate. An assignment can be made if they agree." Obi-Wan nodded, discussed other plans, other battles, until the end of the discussion. It was less than a day before the Senate reached a decision. Obi-Wan felt strange listening to their decision. Not satisfied, exactly. Only like he was one step closer to fixing things. He'd never been promoted before, and he smiled at the congratulations, at the clasp of Cody's hand around his arm, and the warmth of his expression. "We should celebrate," Cody said, drawing him down a hall, warm interest radiating at him from the Force. Obi-Wan glanced at him, raising an eyebrow. "Oh? How?" Cody flashed him a smile, tugging him around a corner, leaning closer when he murmured, "I have a few ideas, sir. Would you like to hear them?" Obi-Wan arched an eyebrow, his stomach tightening, his skin thrumming, and he should have said no. He said, "Why don't you show me?" And Cody's mouth was as warm and soft as he'd thought, his hands as strong and sure as they moved against one another. Obi-Wan had never assumed that it would be easy to fix everything, to end the war, to make the galaxy make sense again. And so really, the attempts on his life were not unexpected. The first assassin was a clone, not one of his men, and he had a blaster snugged against the back of Obi-Wan's skull before Cody pulled the trigger. The assassin slumped down afterwards, lifeless across the floor, and Obi-Wan said, "Oh, next time you should try to keep them alive." Cody grabbed him then, pulling him around and looking him over and saying, "I'm sorry, sir. I should have..." Obi-Wan waved a hand, dismissive. "You saved my life, Commander," he said, and watched Cody flush a little at the warmth in his tone. "I hardly think you need to apologize. Let's see if we can learn anything from him." In the end, the body gave up no secrets, but the next one they took alive, and the story he told left Obi-Wan with a cold feeling in his gut. It did not take overmuch work to determine who had sent him, who his orders had come from. It took much less work to quietly send someone to address the problem. Obi-Wan was in battle when he heard of the Chancellor's untimely demise. He smiled and did not need Cody to tell him about the state of his eyes. "Padme is worried about what you're doing," Anakin said months into Obi-Wan's campaign, when the Separatists had been pushed back and contained almost completely. He'd visited frequently. They were always working together. Most of the troopers in the 501st wore the blue and red circle on their armor. He knew by then it meant that they were his. He blinked up at Anakin, who seemed worried, and asked, "What concerns her?" Anakin shifted, uncomfortable. "She says it's a lot of power for one person to have. She says you're making decisions without consulting anyone else. She says it's not democratic." He glanced to the side. "A lot of the other senators are worried too," she says. Obi-Wan smiled, soft, comforting. He straightened from where he'd been gazing at battle plans. He'd known there would be pushback. A few people were bound to notice what he was doing. He said, taking a step towards Anakin, reaching out to grip his arm, "I understand. But Anakin, what do you think?" Anakin glanced to the side, jaw working for a moment before he said, I know Padme tries her best." And Obi-Wan knew then that he had nothing to worry about. There was a relief to that. When the time came, he didn't want to have to hurt Anakin. "She doesn't understand that we're just doing what needs to be done." "No," Obi-Wan said, shaking his head. "She doesn't. But that's all right. She had other things to worry about." Anakin nodded. He looked relieved. He said, "And we're winning the war. We're really... It's going to be over. Soon." Obi-Wan agreed, squeezing his arm. Anakin smiled at him and said, "You've done a good job, Master." The war ended with Dooku slumped at Obi-Wan's feet, body going still and lifeless. Grievous had been sorted out already, overwhelmed by sheer numbers. The Leadership Council of the Separatists, though still alive, were already begging to surrender. Obi-Wan gave them his terms and accepted it on behalf of the Republic. General Unduli, there to watch the proceedings, looked uneasy as he did, but she said nothing, nothing at all, as the remaining leaders knelt and groveled and pled until Obi-Wan waved them to their feet, insisting there was no need for such theatrics. The galaxy at large celebrated. Obi-Wan put off his celebrations for a time. His work was, after all, not finished. He stood on the bridge of the Negotiator, looking out across an army without a war to fight. "What will you do now?" Cody asked, standing, as always, at his right hand. Obi-Wan looked at him and smiled. He waved a hand, changing the hollows, focusing on the bright, beautiful core worlds. "Now," he said, grinning, "I think we should go home. I think we're all owed a victory parade, don't you?" Obi-Wan took the remaining capital ships, took all his fleets, and ordered them towards Coruscant. He stood on the bridge during the final approach, his heart beating calmly behind his ribs, the knowledge of what he had to do stretching out before him, smooth and clear. "Do you know," he said, gaze on the window, but well aware Cody had stepped up beside him, "in the old days of the Republic, we used to have a Senate and an Emperor." Cody made a soft sound. "Did we? I'm afraid we never learned much ancient history." Obi-Wan frowned briefly. He had so much work to do to ensure that his men were treated fairly, but that was a problem for tomorrow. "We did," he said, gazing at the bright gem of Coruscant. "The title passed down through a family line for a while." "Until?" Cody asked, putting a hand on his back. "Until the line grew weak, I suppose," Obi-Wan said, "and people decided to be more proactive about taking the position." Cody drew him a little closer, his affection bleeding across the space between them. "And then who ruled?" Obi-Wan's mouth quirked. He stared, unblinking, out across the stars. "Conquering generals, mostly." He felt calm inside. Calm and still. He would fix things. So many things. Take all the necessary steps to undo so much damage. And if he damned his soul in the process, well, so be it. "Your eyes are red, sir," Cody said softly, and Obi-Wan glanced toward him, quirking a smile. "Does it bother you?" he asked, genuinely curious. Cody shook his head. "No," he said, reaching out, sliding his fingers into Obi-Wan's hair, moving closer. "I've always thought it suited you." He brushed a kiss against Obi-Wan's mouth, shifting to take it deeper after a moment until they were both breathless. Obi-Wan said against his mouth, "You told me once you'd follow me into hell. Are you ready?" Cody tugged him closer. He said, "Always, sir," and kissed him again as they came out of hyperspace above Coruscant. The end.